Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From the Times and the Sunday Times, this is The Story. I'm Manveen Rana. On a storm-lashed morning in Charleston, South Carolina, some days ago, a group of attorneys sat around a table waiting, as one of them desperately dialed and redialed a number on his mobile. When he couldn't get through, he tried the local Holiday Inn where his client was staying. When the staff couldn't find him in his room, he asked if they could see his truck in the car park. A few minutes later, John Barnett was found slumped in the driver's seat. He died of a gunshot wound. That day, he'd been due to continue his evidence in a whistleblowing trial against his former employer, the aviation giant, Boeing.
I mean, we're just shocked and devastated by it. He had the courage to do the right thing.
Two days later, a Boeing 787 dropped abruptly in midair, injuring 50 people.
The plane basically stopped. Like, it almost, the best way to describe it is it's dropped out of the air instantly.
And 2 months before that, the door of a Boeing 737 MAX was blown off mid-flight.
Yes, we are emergency. We are depressurized.
Now the company faces an American government investigation and an ultimatum by the aviation watchdog. Just as reports emerged this weekend of yet another Boeing incident, as a United Airlines plane landed with a missing panel. It's been crisis after crisis for America's largest exporter. So what could the fall of Boeing mean for the economy and identity of America? The story today: Boeing, a dead whistleblower, and the all-American company that crashed to Earth.
So I'm Dominic O'Connell. I do the business stuff on Times Radio. And in previous lives, I was business editor of the Sunday Times and an aerospace and industry correspondent.
We're going to talk about the litany of disasters that Boeing's had recently and the mysterious death now of this whistleblower in just a moment. But before we do, tell us about your first encounters with Boeing as a reporter.
I first started reporting on Boeing in the mid-1990s when Boeing was really in its pomp. So if you go right back to the beginning, Boeing was one of a number of aircraft makers that started life in America during the Second World War, originally founded by a timber company in Seattle. You know, the Northwest Pacific is a huge timber area. It was a very definite, not military, but slightly military culture. The typical Boeing employee that you would meet, middle management, an engineer or a financial executive, would have some kind of a buzz cut. The more adventurous ones might let their hair touch the collar. They would wear blue shirts, often with button-down collars, but not always, or polo shirts, and almost exclusively beige chinos. It was universally worn, and sometimes they would let themselves down by wearing a gold button sports jacket in the evening, unironically called Randy and Chuck and this kind of thing. And you'd stay in a hotel in Seattle. A shiny 1950s bus would arrive to pick you up, and you'd go around the aircraft factories and be lectured about the merits of Boeing aircraft. There'd be terrible Caesar salads and coffee that was so weak, you know, and they would just drink gallons of it. Very serious. And absolutely, these were people out of a culture that Boeing was the leader in commercial aircraft.
This is it. The first American commercial jet capable of economical transatlantic service. The Boeing 707 Jet Clipper. New York to London in the same time that it takes you to go and see a baseball doubleheader. New York to London in 6.5 magic hours.
It had built the first successful, anyway, jet airline of the Boeing 707. I mean, Britain got there first with the Comet, but the 707 was successful.
2, 1, 0, all engines running.
They had masterminded the Saturn V, the rocket that took the Apollo astronauts to the moon.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
They built the Chinook. They built the B-52 bomber. They believed that they were the best in the world at what they did and were very proud of it, very proud of it. And then at 5:30, they'd have the amusingly named cocktail hour, which was some warm Coke and Sprite, and then they'd run off home to bed at 6:30.
Good God. I mean, it sounds like sort of such a studious culture. People who are very good at what they do, working very hard, long hours.
Studious, but all...
Unshowy.
Lots of women working there, very results-driven, results-oriented, and a belief that they were the best.
And you talked about how important Boeing was. You know, you mentioned it got us to the moon. It created sort of some of the biggest military planes that were needed at the time, or still are. You talked about how vital it was to America's interests. I mean, how important was it to America's economy and also just to its sort of identity after the Second World War?
Well, Boeing was the recipient, along with other companies, of the big splurge in defense spending during the Cold War.
I come to you with a message of leave-taking and farewell. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
They were really one of the pillars of the military-industrial complex, which, you know, Dwight Eisenhower talked about in his farewell speech. He wasn't being complimentary about it. He was warning about the formation.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
By that, he meant a collaboration between parts of government and the military and the industry that armed the military to over-order, to spend too much money on defense and, in essence, pump these companies full of money and provide stuff that wasn't really needed, and that it was a drain on the nation, really, and too powerful in the nation. So Boeing definitely benefited from all that. The defense spending that went into those programs also helped the commercial aircraft programs, because a wing on a bomber is not that much different from a wing on a heavy civilian transport. So it did embody that idea of the American corporation, which really dominated these very large companies like IBM, GE, Coca-Cola, dominated the American stock market from the 50s right up until really the mid-90s.
So Boeing is a vital company to America, to its image of itself, but also to its capability.
There are only two companies in the world that can make large commercial aircraft, Boeing and Airbus. Airbus was a kind of a at the beginning, a loose agglomeration of national European aerospace champions like BA Systems, British Aircraft Corporation, as was, and the French and German equivalents. And these are national champions, national in the sense of the US. Boeing, you know, is the repository and symbol of American technology leadership in aerospace and defense. Mm. And then Airbus is the champion for the trading bloc. It's a matter of sovereign capability. If you don't control the skies, A, you don't have access to aircraft for your airlines. And in a defense sense, if you don't control the skies, you don't control the battlefield. Mm. So they're not like car makers. They're not like any other kind of manufacturing industry. They are regarded as vitally important for the interests of the nation.
How big is Boeing now?
It employs around about 200,000 people in the US, but this is a multinational company. This is not just an American company. It's a big employer in the UK, employs about 8,000 people in the UK. It has operations all around the world.
So it's got a lot of automatic business from this military-industrial complex. It's one of the biggest companies in the country. Just describe for us, because I know you've toured the place, you've talked a bit about the culture, but what was it like touring the production line? I mean, how, you know, what does that look like?
Well, anyone who's been to the Boeing aircraft factories in Seattle, you can't help but be overawed by the scale of the operation. It is big. People riding around on their bikes because it's far too big to walk around. All the giant hall full of fuselages. The real feeling of a large, well-coordinated beehive working to produce these amazing aircraft.
Wow, and well-coordinated, real sort of attention to detail kind of a place.
Yeah, and Boeing, because aviation production lines are not like any other kind of production line. Everything, the reason aviation is so safe and is amazingly safe today is because the work done is very well controlled. You can't use any tool on a production line. You have to know where all your tools are all the time. They have to be carefully logged and put in at the end of the day. Every bit of work that is done should be put onto any number of different computer systems and carefully logged. And that work travels with the aircraft. It stays with the aircraft for the rest of its life. So that if anything does go wrong, the investigators can quickly find out exactly what happened and make changes. That's that whole way of working, which has made Western civil aviation amazingly safe. And if a production line is getting out of sync, or there's too much traveled work, or too many defects from station to station, that's when problems arise.
Boeing is more than just an American company. It's a temple to American technical superiority. It's a blue-collar haven. It's a big pillar of the American empire.
A big pillar of the American empire. And I think it is worth repeating, one of only two companies in the world that can do this. It enjoys a duopoly. I mean, it's a virtual duopoly. There are some competitors at the fringes, but really it is a shared market with Airbus of Europe. And it's a market that Boeing at the moment is losing its grip on.
So what's gone wrong at Boeing? We'll run through the litany of recent disasters. That's coming up in just a moment.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dom, we've talked about the rise of Boeing. In recent years, though, there have been some very high-profile disasters. Just take us back to 2018. What happened?
Well, I think to understand what happened in 2018, you probably need to go back a little bit further into this rivalry between the A320 family from Airbus and the 737 family. The 737 is quite an old aircraft, old in design. It dates from the 1960s, and Boeing has updated it several times to make it more competitive. And the A320 original design is from the 1980s. Mm. So it's much more modern. These are the aircraft that sell most, flown by the likes of EasyJet, Ryanair, British Airways. Almost every major airline has some kind of either the 737 or the A320. And in the run-up to 2018, and sort of from 2015 onwards, a new kind of power plant became available. A technology that allows it to use about 10 to 15% less fuel. And Airbus saw the potential in this and said, we're going to stick it on the A320 and all of a sudden go to airlines around the world and say, look, we have this aircraft that will save you 10 to 15%. In terms of, for an airline, oh, wow, which runs on wafer thin margins, that is like, oh my Lord, you know, we'll bite your hand off for that. So Boeing then had to make a choice. Did it try and fit these engines onto the existing 737, or did it actually bring out a whole new aircraft? And they chose to go for the cheaper option. And actually, it was kind of the sensible thing to do, because launching a new aircraft could be $10 billion. Think of a number, really. It's a very risky thing to do. So they had to redesign the 737. They called this redesign the MAX, and they brought in, to make the aircraft fly properly, a new kind of flight control software. And what happened is that there were two fatal crashes of 737 MAXs, one by Lion Air in 2018 and the following year in Ethiopian Air, which together killed about 350 people.
Data from both incidents right after takeoff showed the planes jolting up and down erratically. Shortly after takeoff, both the Ethiopia and Lion Air flights experienced drops in similar intervals before crashing just after takeoff.
And they didn't properly communicate to airlines and to pilots who are flying it what this flight control software might do in certain circumstances.
The pilots may not have known their brand new 737 MAX had a new automated trim system called MCAS. U.S. airlines say Boeing never flagged the safety system, which forces the nose down to avoid a potential stall, even when the plane is being flown manually.
Now, Boeing at the time argued this, we did communicate this properly. This is a thing that was able to be fixed. It was actually not our fault at all. But subsequently, after the investigations by the Federal Aviation Administration, which is US aviation safety watchdog, A, they said, yes, there was a problem with this flight control software. And B, you, in essence, tried to cover up your own misgivings about this flight control software. It wasn't properly communicated to the investigators, and that led not only to FAA action, but also a Department of Justice criminal charges against Boeing for this cover-up.
In its statement, the Department of Justice says the tragic crashes exposed fraudulent and deceptive conduct by employees of one of the world's leading commercial airplane manufacturers, adding that Boeing employees chose a path of profit over candor by concealing material information from the FAA.
And Boeing paid about $2.5 billion to settle those charges.
Wow. And this is all because they took the cheaper option. They updated an old plane with a big engine, and they introduced the software, and they didn't explain how it worked. Do we know at the end of all of that why they did that, why they didn't run through all of this with pilots?
Well, that is the giant problem. I think Boeing at the time thought they were doing, I'm sure they thought they were doing the right thing. And that communicating this problem might perhaps confuse pilots, might make matters worse. I mean, no one is now saying that the MAX isn't safe. You know, they have made changes to the flight control software. They've put in new instrumentation, all that kind of thing. And they are selling very well. They're operating all around the world completely safely.
So that was the software on the 737 MAX. And then you get to the start of this year, and we're back to very serious technical problems.
Yes, I think at the start of this year, Boeing's chief executive, Dave Calhoun, would have thought, well, now at least we have a chance to rebuild. There's a giant airline buying frenzy going on. Airlines are buying aircraft faster than they ever have post-pandemic. They need to replace aircraft that have retired. There's lots of growth in air travel. So finally, Boeing gets a few years to rebuild. Great. And then on January the 5th, an Alaska Airlines aircraft at about 10,000 feet, just into the climb, loses a plug that sits in an emergency door.
Yeah, we do have information here. We'd like to get lower if possible.
So after all the issues, did you declare an emergency or just need to return to?
Yes, we are emergency. We are depressurized. We do need to return back to. We have 177 passengers. Floor is 18-8.
The plug fell out, leaving the passengers on the plane, looking out into the void. The plane landed safely. No one was badly hurt. And in the next few days, they found the door on the ground.
Once it got dark, I went out and with my flashlight, and in my backyard, there was something gleaming. And when it got closer, I found out it was the door plug that had come from the plane.
Now, the way these plugs work is that the door is held in place by four retaining bolts, and the bolts that screw down top and bottom, two on the bottom, two on the top, and there's a pin put through them to hold them in place. They didn't find any of the retaining bolts that should hold the door in place, which is unbelievable, really, absolutely incredible.
Well, it is, but when you go back to your description of that production line and how immaculate it was, how meticulous from one station to the next, everything is logged.
Well, exactly. And since then, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, which is the watchdog for aviation safety in the US, and the FAA inspectors, when they were at the main supplier, Spirit AeroSystems, which makes the fuselage, they found things like line workers checking the seal on a door using a hotel key card, which is absolutely incredible. You're meant to use only approved tools. And fitting the seal on a door, lubricating the seal with liquid hand soap, which again is like, what is going on?
Liquid hand soap.
Yeah, I mean, at the same time, the National Transportation and Safety Board, which looks into the cause of actual incidents, is looking at the Alaska Airlines thing. And they have said that Boeing has not provided them with the documentation from the assembly line which covers what happened around the door, which again is incredible. Everything is documented on a production line. And NTSB is getting very irate about this, and the chair has been making noises about this, saying, listen, this is just not good enough.
In a letter to Congress, Hammondy writes, to date, we still do not know who performed the work to open, reinstall, and close the door plug on the accident aircraft. Boeing has informed us that they are unable to find the records documenting this work. Investigators asked for security footage from the factory floor. However, she writes, they were informed the footage was overwritten. Boeing insists it has cooperated fully, and it has security videos that are kept for just 30 days on average.
Sounds shocking, given all that you've told us about how it works.
Well, exactly. And the interim finding from the NTSB found that, in fact, yes, for whatever reason, the retaining bolts were not refitted. So it's really a bit of a mess.
That is remarkable.
So the FAA has clearly lost patience with Boeing. It's given the company 90 days to provide a safe plan of work, how it's going to introduce quality back into its manufacturing.
It's not just the aviation authorities. We now hear that the Department of Justice in America is interested again.
Yes, the DOJ has asked to talk to all the Alaska Airlines personnel and passengers. Boeing will be quite worried about this because the DOJ brings criminal charges and could end up in a repeat of what happened with the MAX, where Boeing had to pay out quite a lot of money to settle charges from the DOJ. But that is at very early days yet.
So one incident like that with the door plug disappearing, that would be catastrophic for any company, but it's not an isolated incident. Tell us what happened last week on a flight from Australia to New Zealand.
Last week, there was a Boeing 787, so that's a larger aircraft than the 737, carries more passenger, flies a further distance, and has been a big commercial success. it had an incident where it just dropped in mid-flight. Now, you might think, well, this is just turbulence. Dozens of passengers were hurt, about 50 were hurt, one or two reasonably seriously.
A massive jolt happened, and I looked up to see the gentleman that was sitting next to me on the roof of the plane. I'm looking at him fully outstretched with his back on the roof of the plane. And then he came crashing down to the floor. It was insane. I was like, I thought I was dreaming.
But it looks like it was actually a failure of the flight management system for a couple of seconds for an unknown reason.
And then the pilot came to the back. And I said to him, I said, what happened? And he said, my instruments, I just lost them. Just for a few seconds, they went blank.
The investigators are looking at something to do with movements of the pilot's seats, which sounds quite mysterious. Mm. But it is another question mark over a Boeing product.
And as you say, you know, every tiny mistake has huge implications. You've got 50 people there injured. A day after that incident, we hear that a man has died. Who was he?
John Barnett was a Boeing engineer who worked on the 787 production factory in South Carolina. And he had alleged quality defects on the 787 line. And this is not entirely new. We did know that Boeing had problems with the quality of the 787 assembly. And in fact, the FAA stopped them from delivering 787s for a whole year at one stage until they fixed the production processes.
Wow.
Barnett was one of the people who had said, listen, I have found lots of problems in my job as a Boeing engineer. He alleged that, in essence, Boeing harassed him out of his job or failed to promote him and was in the middle of preparing for a whistleblower lawsuit against the company. And he was found dead outside his hotel in the car park of his hotel, and the local coroner said it was from a self-inflicted wound.
Ryan Emerson spoke with his lawyer and has details on his conversations with John leading up to his death. Anne?
He says the case was going very well, and he told that to Barnett. Barnett told him he was looking forward to getting back to his family in Louisiana after these depositions.
I mean, we're just shocked and devastated by it. He had the courage to do the right thing.
We don't know really what happened, but it does add to the air of crisis around Boeing, really. A tragedy that somehow was born out of the company's own production failures.
Dominic, as somebody who has watched this company for decades, how on earth have they got to this point? What do you think has gone wrong for them? Is this cost cutting? Is it culture?
I think it's certainly culture. I mean, there are lots and lots of articles you can find out there with explanations around how Boeing has become sacrificed quality on the altar of shareholder value. And I think that might be true. I think elements of that are true. But I think that's too easy an explanation. And the other thing to remember, though, is that the civil aerospace business is viciously cyclical. So it is a boom and bust business. And one of the problems that Boeing has had is that they have laid off workers in the past and brought them back. Typically, after a cycle, you know, Boeing executives have told me in the past, they would expect to get back about three quarters of their production line staff. After the pandemic, they got back about a quarter.
Oh, wow.
A big difference, a very big difference. And Seattle was a Boeing town when I was visiting it in the 90s. Now there's any number, and particularly Microsoft, companies which probably have a bigger call on that city than Boeing does. And so
that's interesting.
So what happened to the Boeing culture and the culture that I first encountered in the 90s, I don't think it's quite there anymore. I think it was a culture of quality and of winning. We are the best. And they somehow need to recapture that. The other thing that's happened, of course, is that the US economy is no longer driven by these big manufacturing giants.
Mm.
The US stock market has been on an amazing tear recently. It's at record highs. But almost all the new market capitalization in the US stock market has been created by seven companies. And they're all technology companies. They're Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, Meta. And none of it has come from the traditional giants. It has moved to being a Silicon Valley-led stock market. And so,
rather like Seattle itself.
Perhaps a bit like Seattle itself. So what drives value and what attracts investors is no longer excellence in manufacturing.
So is that part of the problem? You know, the American industrial dream, has that fundamentally changed?
I think it may have. And of course, there's been an awful lot of outsourcing of manufacturing. Boeing is almost certainly going to buy Spirit back as part of the plan to fix quality, so that it can now have direct control over its key supplier. And I think that will be one of the things that's in the plan to satisfy the FAA.
And Dominic, stepping back, you know, people used to talk about America as the indispensable nation. Boeing was the indispensable company in the world of aviation. Is the story of Boeing, you know, where it's no longer the pinnacle of innovation, it's facing stiff competition from abroad, I mean, is it actually the story of America?
Yes, but I think anybody who bets against American ingenuity and American industry is probably going to lose, really. The truth is that Western civil aviation has never been safer. There were no fatalities involving a Western-made aircraft last year. And the often made comparison is you're more likely to be hurt in an accident involving a horse-drawn vehicle than you are involving a Western aircraft. It is just incredibly safe. And people who think Boeing is going nowhere are wrong. Boeing is too valuable to the US government to be allowed to fail. It won't fail. And it still has lots of valuable products. The 787, the 737 MAX will sell well once they fix this because it is a duopoly and airlines don't want to have a single source supplier. Boeing will make money probably this year and the year after. It's not at death's door by any stretch of the imagination.
We contacted Boeing about the issues raised in this podcast, and they told us, we continue to implement immediate changes and develop a comprehensive action plan to strengthen safety and quality and build the confidence of our customers and their passengers. They also said they'd support the US government's investigation in the transparent and proactive fashion we have supported all regulatory inquiries into this accident. And on the death of the whistleblower, John Barnett, they said, we are saddened by Mr. Barnett's passing, and our thoughts are with his family and friends. Thanks today to Dominic O'Connell, columnist at The Times, business presenter on Times Radio, and aviation expert extraordinaire. Dominic writes a column every Saturday, which you can find at thetimes.co.uk, and he'll be following every development at Boeing in the business pages all through the week. The producer today was Sam Chantarasak. The executive producer was Fiona Leach. Sound design and theme music was by Mao Lasetto. You may have noticed a few changes today. Stories of Our Times is now The Story. We'll still be bringing you one in-depth dive into the news each day, and I'll be out and about more with original reporting and investigations. We also have a new email, so do let us know what you think of it all and what you'd like to hear on the podcast at thestory@thetimes.co.uk. Thanks for listening. The Story will be back tomorrow.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.